What's going on? Bill Rutter with you, filling in for Jim. It is great to be back on the West Coast. It is a thrill to be filling in for one of my heroes in this business, one of the guys that graciously helped change my career in life. Love working with Robert Dismati, producing today, and James Kelly. And thank you for listening, hanging out. As always, the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We got 2 hours left. Sam Amick, my buddy, national NBA insider writer. This dude is so good on the association. We'll be on the program in 35 minutes. And in about an hour and 10 minutes, Jeff Goodman. Goodman, who works for Stadium now and covers college hoops in the NBA. He and I keep referencing this because I'm a big believer in gratitude. I really am. I'm a big believer in the people who give you breaks. And I didn't know Jim. It's not like I know Jim that well now. I know him to say hi to him. He's a great guy. But just graciously, it was good to people in this business. Jeff and I both did our first television ever on the Jim Rome show on CBS Sports Network. And in the years that followed, one or the other would be at some event and see the other guy on television, on FS1, on ESPN, and just take a photo and send a note that said, thanks to Jim Rome. So I love that Goodman's going to be on today. We can reminisce a little bit. We're also going to give Goodman a really hard time. Sources tell me, close to the situation, he's a cheap SOB and needs to start coughing up some money for dinner. So we'll get into that. I promise to talk a little Giannis and the Bucks, and we will in a little bit, maybe the next segment. But I want to keep rolling with the aftermath of this Ty Dunn story and Bleacher Report. Well-reported, sourced, anonymous sources and name sources that fills in the blanks. Why has Aaron Rodgers had so much trouble taking at least what to me is the most talented arm quarterback combo in the history of the game? The guy is a stud. And I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. Packers fans write me at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I don't want to be. I'm a Bears fan. But trust me, I hate Jay Cutler. I don't hate Aaron. I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers to get past his ego and channel his greatness in a better way. I'm rooting for Jay Cutler to voluntarily for the space program, be the first man to just go see if there's other life somewhere, you know, light years away. Good luck, buddy. Send a message through the technology you find out there. But the reality is that ego gets in the way. It fells really talented guys. Chris Paul has never won a championship because of himself, not because of his teammates or his opponents. That's a fact. Same for Jay Cutler. Absolutely the same for Jay Cutler. And there's guys on the other side of the equation. Steph's greatness is, to me, beyond something you can question. But he created this juggernaut as, what, a seventh-round pick with an 11th, or a seventh overall pick with an 11th overall pick and a second-round pick. Because he created a culture where it was about winning first. A selflessness combined with him. Trust me. Ask the official this past weekend, the Minneapolis game. Steph's got an ego, but he channels it to victory. Tom Brady's got an ego, but he channels it to greatness. Peyton Manning, egomaniac, but not in a bad way. Ego's not bad. Had Tom Crean on the show yesterday, and Tom and I get along real well now, the Georgia men's basketball coach. But our first interactions were edgy. Something about my interactions with people that are start off edgy. Maybe that's a personality flaw by me. Now that I say it, it took the Jim Rome show to realize maybe I got a little Aaron Rodgers ego in me, but not the Aaron Rodgers talent. Crean and I got off to a rough start because I called him arrogant in a column that praised him. I don't got a problem with arrogance. I think arrogance is good. It's the old Wall Street, greed is good. Ego can be good, but it has to be to a purpose. Not to the fulfillment of your ego, but to the execution of your goals. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't done it. And a bunch of you want to weigh in, 1-800-636-8686. Let's do it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hanging out, clones. I know these are big shoes to fill. I won't pretend I'm filling them. I'll just tell you, it is a thrill to be hanging out and sitting where Jim Rome sits. Jim, of course, back on Monday. Bill Rutter filling in. Matt in L.A., my new home. What is going on, brother? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
West Sider Rider, hey, from Manhattan Beach to Manhattan, New York, to dude who is just like, man, can you just mix in some deodorant after I give you this dollar to Irate Craig? You're welcome. Bill, I've been a fan since you and Kirk Morrison were spelling Jay Moore, since you and the lovely Leanne Tweeden were hosting on the L.A. airwaves. So big respect to you, my brother. I wanted to come in because you tickled me a little earlier with the little tidbit you were saying about Jay Cutler. You see, my dad, huge Chicago sports fan, all about the Bears, right? And I can clearly, vividly remember when they signed him. And I was actually like, you know, because I'm a Raider fan. I was like, hey, man, Pops, this guy's pretty good. You know, he might make a difference there. And he was like, are you freaking kidding me? I've caught this guy's act in Denver. He's a loser. He'll never win anything. And sure enough, it was like Pops was like Nostradamus because he ran that Chicago Bear franchise right into the closest telephone pole, if you will. And I think we've all caught his act on the reality show. I don't have a big problem with him, but he clearly is a D-bag. Hey, that's all I got, Bill. Keep up the good work. Keep ripping on that CBS Sports Net. And that's all I got. Outro.
Matt in L.A. Thank you, brother. And mad respect to your pops. I think your dad and I have some happy years ahead of us. Not sure Trubisky's the answer. I am sure Matt Nagy is. And I think he can turn whatever Trubisky is into the right thing. God, I can't wait to see the Bears get to Super Bowl and just lose 45-3 and be reminded at the highest stage, I'm still a Bears. It'll probably happen at the LA Super Bowl. That seems like I'll probably be there. Awesome. Cannot wait. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. Man, Matt in LA went to some Salad Day stuff for me. I love Kirk Morrison. Kirk is my guy. Did the Kirk Morrison show, did that show with Leanne. Man, the path to here was certainly an interesting one. I feel like a very lucky dude to be sitting here, hanging out, listening to Matt in L.A., do his thing. Thank you, my man. Sean in Minnesota, appreciate you listening. Bill Ryder filling in. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. I've got kind of an odd take. I'm a Packer fan for my whole life. Been a big Rodgers fan, big Favre fan. But I think one of the biggest problems for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers was basically winning that Super Bowl. And that may seem an odd take, but I believe it kind of validated Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy's approach. Ted Thompson is a average general manager. Mike McCarthy was an average head coach. Winning that Super Bowl kind of gave them a free pass. Ted Thompson's approach was to build to the draft. He ignored free agency, ignored trades, and the talent slowly leaked out. Mike McCarthy had a wealth of talent and was successful managing that talent with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That talent went away, and you see McCarthy's coaching acumen just kind of went down. That's why I think that they really didn't make a very good team. The other thing I have to say is that Aaron Rodgers is just not the leader, even that Brett Favre was. Over and over, you see Aaron Rodgers throw his receivers under the bus. I'd see Brett Favre throw to an open receiver. The guy made the wrong route. You know, his head's down. He comes back to the huddle. Next play, Brett Favre goes right back to him. And the guy just is gonna go to battle for him. I see Aaron Rodgers. You have a receiver makes a mistake. Aaron Rodgers might not go back to him the rest of the season. That's kind of what my take was. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Sean, appreciate you, buddy. Look, there's a wealth of sins to go around for what's bedeviled the Green Bay Packers. Ted Thompson's not getting any sympathy for me, not by a long stretch. And I don't want to soft sell Ty Dunn's story and the Mike McCarthy portions of this. The fact that Aaron Rodgers thought he was stupid, lowest football IQ of any coach he'd ever been around. That according to the report, and McCarthy denies it, but what else would you do? When he was supposed to be in meetings, the report goes, he was somewhere getting a massage. Come on, man. Get the massage later, coach. Come on. What are you doing? I do think that for a long time, Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy and that entire organization got a pass because of how incredible Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback. Same thing for John Elway in Denver. Don't pretend John Elway is the executive that he was the quarterback. He's not. He's a disaster. The only thing that's happened for John Elway that's gone wrong is Peyton Manning decided, Denver sounds like a good place to go. I'll go there. I bought it. I even went to his dealerships for a while. It didn't work out either. I mean, I'm telling you, a massively talented quarterback can make mediocrities look really, really smart. However, over time, that's not going to last. And if that results in a culture of a QB knowing it, and he sours, and he turns, and he becomes the guy you don't want in that huddle in terms of leading guys, well, you're going to get what you have in Green Bay, disappointment and underachieving. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. Mark in Las Vegas. What's up, buddy? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Yeah, hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to your show in the afternoons driving in every day. Quick take, though. I think you're off on this Aaron Rodgers take, man. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I was born and raised, grew up in that area, watched him break my heart several times over the years. But I think McCarthy was the issue. I don't think he was a great coach. I think he definitely underachieved at his level for what he had around him, and he wasted Aaron Rodgers' good years with some bad coaching. I think Rodgers overachieved the last couple of years with a mediocre team he's had around him. He plays through injury. He makes spot-on throws. He checks down four or five receivers. He hits the open guys, and he runs for first downs. He takes command of the huddle. He makes the guys around him better. And at that level, I think he's earned a certain amount of arrogance and a certain amount of that ego that he has because he's a champion and because he wants to win. And I think he's disappointed with everything that they haven't given to him. That's my take, brother.
Appreciate you, Mark. And I remember you. Yep, you call in all the time on the show I host 6 to 10 Eastern, 3 to 7 Pacific, Ryder than you here on CBS Sports Radio. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Let me also say this. We have a tendency, not just in sports fans, sports media, just in America today, to not be able to dive into nuance. We don't do nuance well. We run to our pole opposites. We cluster on one side or the other of our extremes. And the truth here is a complicated one. Aaron Rodgers is so talented. And Aaron Rodgers can also, at times, be the problem. And I'll go to a comparison that I know up close and personal. I know the guy. I've covered the guy. He has hated me. He has granted me more like 30-minute sit-down television interview, which to him is a big piece of political capital. I've been around LeBron James a lot. And the reality with LeBron, just like Aaron Rodgers, but I can speak to LeBron because I've covered him as part of my life, my career, these dudes are nuanced. There are complications. You can be, and this applies to both these guys, a massive talent who's a great dude away from the game, who gets a massive ego for whatever reasons, goes to Miami, gets the contract, who forgets who they are in terms of in that locker room as a leader, who gets some humiliation, some criticism they never expected, who becomes this thin-skinned, why are people mean to me? It hasn't ever happened. Who then, and LeBron got there, Aaron hasn't, figure it out and say, you know what, I don't care what people say per se, but there's some truth in this. We all screw up. We all make mistakes. We all look back at things we've done and say to ourselves, man, what was I doing? For me, it's, you know, two in the last 3 days. Like, it happens. We go through it. It's part of being a human being. And the other complication is, once LeBron got it right, it's not like it was forever. He's reverted back to the wrong version of LeBron his first year in L.A. And what do I know about LeBron now? He can fix it, and he can fall back into it. We'll see where he goes. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can fix it, but I know that stars can. This isn't a Aaron Rodgers, you suck, you're an idiot, you're terrible. This is a, here's a reality, Green Bay Packers fans. I'm not crushing your guy. I'm offering you some perspective that if any of you have access to Aaron Rodgers, you see him at the grocery store, you can send some good thoughts into the world, burn some incense, whatever it is, put a pin in a Bears voodoo doll. I don't know. Try to understand this is about Rodgers being the solution and the problem. That's a rare place to be as a superstar. Get a better attitude, own a little bit of your mistakes, recognize that failure is always the key to success, and the ability, and it's hard to know when you're in the wrong or when you're just surrounded by idiots who are telling you're wrong. It's a hard thing to have a compass on. Aaron Rodgers figures it out, Packers will be great. Aaron Rodgers keeps being a guy that teammates don't like, don't believe in, thinks is about his ego and throws people under the bus. Well, Green Bay, welcome to being disappointed for a very, very long time. 1-800-636-8686. Here on the Jim Rome Show, you want to give me a call. Bill Ryder filling in. Clones love you. Appreciate you. Remember driving around Iowa. One of you. Very, very cool moment here filling in for Jim on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take some more calls. And I do want to give, you know, killing a Wisconsin star, Aaron Rodgers. Want to keep some love on another one. And Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll get into that here on the Jim Rome Show in just a minute. Welcome into the Jim Rome Show. Welcome into the jungle. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim here on CBS Sports Radio. 1-800-636-8686. Email Rome at haveatake.com. We got an email. Dear Ryder, where in the heck did this Rodgers kid learn about work culture and leadership? He is just too damn much drama. I cannot understand where this came from. Regards, Brett Favre, Gus in the 414, unwore adults who wear pajamas in public. Thank you, Brett. It's great wisdom there, buddy. Selflessness, team first. When Aaron Rodgers starts struggling with retirement, maybe you can weigh back in on the right way to exit gracefully and graciously. 1-800-636-8686. I want to get to Giannis in a minute, but I've been a little hard on Aaron Rodgers and accurate on Aaron Rodgers, but I get it. It's a painful thing if you're Wisconsin. Welcome to the darkness as an NFL fan. Eric in Wisconsin. I got a lot of family. Appreciate you, brother. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, thanks for the vine, Bill. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, you bet. So I think it was just kind of a match made, not in heaven. I think McCarthy's a fine coach. Rodgers is obviously an awesome quarterback, you know, but just the way, you know, Rodgers is, he needs a friend more than a coach. So hopefully LaFleur can be that younger guy, younger coach, you know, maybe come across a little more friendly instead of too bullheaded. I think if McCarthy has a older quarterback that's willing to listen to him a little more, I think that would work out well. I think if Tomlin would have been the coach in Green Bay for Rodgers, I think there'd be some more rings here. And I'm a Packer fan, by the way. So I think it's kind of like a marriage. If you got a husband and wife and they're both bullheaded, it's not going to work. If you got a husband and wife and they're both lazy, the house is going to be a mess. So I think we're going to be all right in Green Bay. I think Rodgers is obviously not going anywhere. And I think LaFleur will hopefully, you know, become his friend and still be able to coach him up a little bit. Bill Ryder, being an awesome co-host, guest host, and wore the Woodscopes. Thanks.
Eric, thank you, buddy. You're not wrong, by the way. I love the take. I'll just say this. What does it come to that Aaron Rodgers needs a bestie? My feelings are real sensitive. Could you hire someone who will go to the new Avengers movie with me? Because I'm real lonely. Then I can win Super Bowls. Okay. I get it. All right, Wisconsin. Let me shower you with some love where it is well deserved. It ain't the Green Bay Packers. It is the Milwaukee Bucks. And by the way, just to make my point, not much has changed in Milwaukee from last year, other than Jason Kidd is a disaster in terms of culture. And you ask around the NBA, like I have, having covered it, Kidd's an all-timer. He also has a reputation, fair or otherwise, and it's fair, for being an all-time, how do I say this nicely, political backstabber. And that doesn't create great cultures. Doesn't create an environment where people can be successful. This isn't me just making this up. It matters. Bringing Mike Budenholzer, former coach of the year, stud in Atlanta. Some drama went on with the Hawks. He got bumped up to a level he didn't belong at. Shouldn't have been a president of operations or a GM. Now he's in the right role, and Milwaukee is a completely different team. So the culture changed, and they went from, what, I think a 7 seed last year to the number 1 seed officially locked in. But there's also this. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the future of the NBA. We're not in a post-LeBron NBA yet. Stop it. 27-9-8, stop it. He doesn't care. But it's coming. Someday, time comes for all men, and when it comes for LeBron James in a real way, Giannis is filling the gap, and here's how I know. Here's how we all know. Actual, true, remarkable superstars go to another level when they're angry, they're inspired. Jordan, Mike, felt this anger at the Knicks. And so there was something about his hate for them that when he went to the Garden, he would just drop 40, 45, 50. Because he's an actual star who rises to the real challengers and humiliates them. That's what he does. Steph Curry got pissed off this past weekend, and he's gone on a tear when he's decided to shoot the ball. It's been ridiculous. Tom Brady got suspended for four games. Right or not right, suspended for four games, came back against Cleveland, and led that team to a whole other level, became an MVP the following season, all a chip on his shoulder. And Giannis had a similar situation. Joel Embiid, who's no slouch himself, said recently that he, Joel Embiid, the most unstoppable player in the game. Well, guess what? Sixers against Bucks last night gave Giannis a chance to weigh in on his opponent, saying that he, Joel Embiid, not Giannis, is the most unstoppable player. And before Giannis went out there and did the things I'm describing, rising up like a true superstar, Giannis wasn't afraid to give his perspective on that kind of arrogance.
If he believes he's the most unstoppable player of the NBA, you know, that's good for him. Obviously, he's a really, really good player. It's hard to guard. He's a hard player to guard. But, you know, I think, like, other people should say that about you. You don't say that about yourself.
That's exactly right, Joel. And Giannis showed it. Hey, Giannis, I got you. You're the most unstoppable player in the NBA. He went out there last night, and I know Joel Embiid had a nice game. Great game. 34-13-13, two steals, three blocks. Great game. Didn't get the W. Because the best player on the floor last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo on the second best team in the NBA. I can't get it this twisted and pretend that Milwaukee's going to beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals this year. They're not. I don't think they're going to win a game if they get there. I really don't. Maybe a game. But the Warriors are crumbling before us because that whole culture thing we talked about. Hello, Kevin Durant. Malignancy. And star player. You can be both. You can be both. We're human beings. We're complicated creatures. But Milwaukee's coming. Giannis last night, 45 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 blocks. 45, 13, 6, and 5. And by the way, he blocked Embiid 4 times. That is the most times Joel Embiid has ever been blocked in his career. That is a superstar move. That is a guy competing against somebody who's a stud himself. Joel Embiid is he's a future top 3 player in the NBA if he's healthy, and it looks like he's going to be. Problem is, Giannis is the number 1 guy in the future. That's a lock. You saw it last night. He imposed his will. Giannis imposed his will on one of the best players in the game. Joel did the talking, and Giannis finished it with his fists on the court the way you're supposed to. He dominated. So Milwaukee Bucks fans, stop turning to Aaron Rodgers for your hopes and dreams for your sports teams. Turn to Giannis. You got the right coach. You got the right core. I know you want to be a little bit healthier. Bad luck is part of the deal. And you have the future superstar in the game. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the man, and he's going to be the man, and Milwaukee's going to be great for a long time. And it's not going to be an easy path. The East is interesting and going to be interesting. Next year, when Durant and Kyrie are together, there'll be a top 4 team that'll go out in the first round like the old Clippers and Lob City days, but they'll be interesting in the regular season. The Celtics, when they get rid of Kyrie or he gets rid of them, going to revert back to that team that last year took LeBron and the Cavs to a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Philly, a lot of addition by subtraction. I think better off when Butler's not there. It's not a good fit talking to people. This isn't a secret. And it's Tobias Harris. But Embiid and Simmons together, ooh, man, that can be something special. So it's not going to be easy for the Bucks to be the cream of the Eastern Conference in the years ahead. But last night, Giannis just showed he doesn't want easy. He wants to humiliate actual challengers. He's going to do it. Congratulations, Wisconsin. As one star fades under the burden of his own self-importance, another is emerging. Way to go. And he feasted on the self-importance of an opponent, Joel Embiid. If only he could do that to Rodgers. Like, just consume his ego, and Aaron could be okay again. Bill Ryder filling on the Jim Rome Show, 1-800-636-8686. Sam Amick, one of my favorite writers out there, covers the NBA for The Athletic. Really, really talented guy. Very connected dude. Going to visit with him and get his perspective on a bunch of the things happening around the NBA. He's got a vote, MVP Coach of the Year. We'll get where his ballot is at. I imagine I've voted for those things before. It's tough, especially when some of these contests are this close. We'll visit with Sam Amick, in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Rutter. What is going on? Bill Rutter with you, filling in for Jim. College basketball's biggest weekend. First-timer Auburn battles Virginia. Then another first-timer, Texas Tech, collides with Michigan State. The Final Four coverage begins Saturday, 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, with the winners battling for the NCAA championship. Monday night only, CBS. This is cool. I'm not going to lie. It's cool filling in for Jim Rome right now, hanging out. And Jeff Goodman, my guy, going to be on in just a moment. Just a second. Goodman's not there. I thought he was. I was excited because he and I go way, way back in the Jim Rome days. Excuse me, Sam Amick is going to join me in just a moment. I'm so excited about the guests. I'm getting confused here. We're going to go right now to one of the best NBA. I think we've had two of the three best. There's three guys. We had Howard Beck yesterday. He's one of them. Sam Amick's the other. Very graciously making some time on the show. Sam, what's up, buddy?
Mr. Ryder, how the heck are you? I mean, Howard's a tough act to follow. You didn't tell me that's what I was doing today.
No, you guys are, you know, don't tell Howard, but I'll give you the 1A. No, 1A and 1A. You guys are both 1A and 1A in my book.
Like the MVP race right now a little bit?
Man. All right, so, Sam Amick, you have a vote, and I know that there's a week left. I get it, but your ballot today, what does it look like?
Man, it's funny you ask that, Bill, because, like, I wrote this thing the other day. I'm giving you the long answer, but you know, I talked to Mike D'Antoni, and you know, this time of year that the you know, everybody's kind of putting you in the spin room and telling you why their guy is the guy and he should get it. So I talked to Mike. He was candid as always. He was fascinating, and he really had me convinced that James was the MVP. And I still might go that direction, but then Giannis goes out, and I know it's only one of 82, but I love the fact that both these guys are kind of pushing hard until the finish line of the regular season. So when Giannis goes out and puts out the kind of line that he did last night, you know, like even regardless of opponent, that was an incredible line. But to do it against Philly and another big and Joel Embiid, who, you know, is actually kind of a fringe MVP candidate. He's certainly not winning it, but that was impressive. And it reminded you not only of how great he has been, but then the Bucks are getting even closer to, you know, that 60 win threshold that I think could help his case when it comes to the voters. So I do think it's close, and I really can't tell which way it's going to go. If I put me on the spot right now, probably Harden, but I got to look at it a little deeper.
Sam Amick here on the show. Sam, we've known how good Milwaukee's been all year. They've been consistently great. They're defensively really impressive. When they're healthy, they're really, really deep. What is the realistic upside for this team? Do they have it? If they make the finals, Sam Amick, can they compete? Can they push the Warriors?
I think they can. It's just the tough thing for me to reconcile is that you just have the X's and O's part of the conversation, and the fact that schematically what they do and talent-wise what they have, yeah, you know, yes, that's enough to compete with the Warriors, 100%. But then you have the human emotional kind of maturity standpoint, which is a team that got bounced in the first round the last couple of years in the Bucks, and that's just that would be a heck of a jump, and we don't see it all that often now. Coincidentally, I had an enjoyable chat a couple of weeks back with Mike Budenholzer about trying to come up with other examples of teams that made that jump. And he brought up the Warriors from 14-15 when, if you remember, you know, they had lost, I think, to the Clippers the year prior. And they had been to the second round 2 years before that, I believe. So they weren't complete playoff babies, so to speak. But the Bucks, that would be a heck of a jump. And so I don't know when they get into the second round, if they get to the conference finals, you know, they're kind of the way they handle the marathon, you know, how does that process go? But in terms of just being a hell of a team, I think certainly they could challenge anybody.
Sam Amick, national NBA writer for The Athletic. I already subscribe, but if you don't, Sam alone is worth the price of admission. And proof of that, Sam, there's proof all the time. But a story that you wrote recently, I think it dropped maybe 2 days ago. You had a long conversation with Mike D'Antoni about what's going on in Houston, his philosophy, his approach, his optimism. What were some of your major takeaways from that talk?
That he's amazed by James, which sounds like the most obvious headline ever. You know, head coach of good team loves his star player. But the thing about Mike that you know, Bill, is that he's one of those guys that, as he put it, he's too old to give an F. He's 67, and I think he's had that attitude since he was about 37. But, like, I've had conversations with Mike in the past about his star players, James and others, where you were struck by the fact that he would actually say things that were critical. He would actually say things that were objective, and that's what I think makes him different. So, in that vein, I listen to him when he comes out and decides to completely, you know, go all in on his guy when it comes to describing what James has meant to them this season. And the things that he highlighted that are, you know, really, I think, not tough to argue with, impossible to argue with, is that this squad losing Clint Capella for a large stretch, losing Chris Paul, coming off of that terrible start, they were 11-14. Now, James was producing. Everybody kind of acts like he was awful early on. He was like 38-5 in the first, you know, 15 games, and he missed a couple games. So, I'm sorry, 25 games. So, you know, they turned this thing around in a major way, and they now have themselves, forget about the standings. If we're just talking about who should scare the Warriors the most, I don't know how you see it, but, like, they're on the short list, again, just like they were last year, and they actually think they're better. And, you know, as Mike sees it, it's got everything to do with James.
Sam Amick here on the show, Jim Rome Show, Bill Rutter filling in. Sam, you know this, in basketball, in our business, in America, in life, there's a fine line between being a joke and being on the outs and being celebrated and being on the cusp. And I find D'Antoni and your interview with him so interesting because it's not like it was 20 years ago when he got outed in L.A. and people thought, well, that proves it. The guy failed in New York. The guy failed in L.A. He's not able to succeed at this level. The game's passed him by, blah, blah, blah. Now you've got Houston on the cusp, last year literally, and a Lakers team that just feels like there's more dysfunction leaking out every single day. You've got Jeannie Buss and this podcast that she did, including comments that when the question is, what's up with Luke Walton? If the answer is, and her answer was, I'll leave that to Magic Johnson. That doesn't seem to bode well for Luke. You are very close to that organization in terms of your insight. You've broken big stories in the Lakers before, among other organizations. What do you make, Sam Amick, of what is actually going on with this Lakers culture and organization, how far they are from having it fixed?
Here's the thing that's tough to reconcile. I'm in L.A. right now. And by the way, welcome back to the West Coast, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, they are not nearly as worried about themselves as everybody else is about them. And time will tell which side of the ledger had it right. Which is to say that on the coaching front, yes, as we sit here talking today, I don't think it looks good for Luke and his staff at all. You know, did some time yesterday talking to different people, and you know how it is. It's getting to that time of year when certain subplots of the season end up getting framed in certain ways that you know, where the agenda is to have the media, you know all these different talking points that then will justify the move that gets made. That's how it feels right now. Magic and Rob continue to get full faith from ownership in spite of, you know, just an absolute flood of criticism, not only from fans, but around the NBA. They don't have a ton of respect from their peers, I don't think. And part of that, I do think, is just the Laker way, the Laker experience, that they are that brand that everybody's going to be coming at all the time. But and then I think a lot of it is fair. But this summer is obviously huge. You know, I the question for me, Bill, is like, if you go down the list of free agents that could come be, you know, kind of LeBron's co-star, I don't know who that's going to be. And I honestly, now I'm starting to hear and feel from their side this sense that, well, maybe we don't have to have, you know, a Kevin Durant or a Kawhi Leonard or a Kyrie or a, you know, even a Jimmy Butler. Maybe it's going to be a Marcus Morris and a Nikola Mirotic and all these different guys who fit LeBron well, a la Cleveland in that story, and get them to the next level. You know, a lot of uncertainty, but not a lot of panic, surprisingly, within the Lakers walls.
All right, Sam Amick, we dove into this yesterday. I'll ask you in each case. Let's start with Clippers or Lakers. Which organization is in better shape, is going to be more successful from your perspective? I know it's guesswork, but for you, it's guesswork based on being one of the most connected NBA people in the country. Which organization, Clippers or Lakers, more likely to be successful over the next, let's call it, 5 years?
I think we have two questions here, my friend. I think it's because I think the Clippers are in a much better spot when it comes to functionality and synergy and chemistry and culture. But this NBA world, players and superstars continue a lot of times to overlook all of those things. And the power of brands like the Lakers, like the Knicks, kind of supersede all of that, which has got to drive some of these people nuts who work so hard to create good situations. So I just don't know if it's going to pay off for the Clippers. And it's hard to handicap whether or not that means they're going to have a more successful next 5 years than the Lakers. That's where you can't bridge that gap. I mean, the idea that Kevin Durant is seriously contemplating the Knicks, given all we know about James Dolan, is obviously enough to make you scratch your head. And there's a lot of that around the league. So the Clippers have done a wonderful job of getting their house in order and putting all the right messaging out, having a structure internally that is very, very functional and positive. And now, by the way, the optics of going to the playoffs with a team that has no business going to the playoffs. So I love what they've done. I just don't know if it's going to pay off.
Sammy McHugh on the show. Sam, we've seen the Warriors do, I think, what we all knew they were capable of doing. They've just flipped that switch after that really, I thought it was funny, that Minnesota game where the officials did not appreciate Steph, John right. Adam, fake foul, game over, see you later. Does that tell us that not only the Warriors are going to win, they're going to roll? Or do you think there are some challengers between here and another championship parade in Oakland that could be serious enough to at least scare Golden State going forward?
I mean, the guys in the East, the teams in the East, you know, those are interesting. And we have so little sample size to really break that down that's hard to handicap. So I'm locked in on the Rockets when it comes to the Warriors challengers. Denver certainly doesn't look very good recently. Utah's looked good, but you just kind of look at the matchups, and I don't think the Warriors would be afraid of them. Portland's got the injury stuff. I'm leaving somebody out, but Houston has been great. And beyond what they've been doing on the court, go ahead. Oh, I lose you, Bill?
No, I'm still here. We're taking
it. Sorry, I got you, brother. No, so the Rockets look great, and I've talked to their staff, I've talked to their players enough to know that what's fun for me about how I think the next couple months might go, and I think is going to be fun for everybody to watch, is that they just legitimately have zero fear whatsoever of the champs. It doesn't mean they're going to knock them off, but this has officially become rivalry-esque from the standpoint of they are convinced that they got the better of them last year in the conference finals. They're convinced that they are better now. They also know, you know, and you and I have talked about Chris Paul ad nauseum over the years. You know, Chris is the same age as LeBron, and we're seeing how Father Time is kind of beating LeBron down a little bit this year, and Chris knows the time is of the essence, and James is carrying them the way that he is. I just think their wiring and where they are at as a group is the kind of thing that could make a matchup in the playoffs against those two teams really good.
Sam Amick, if you're an NBA fan, if you're interested in the NBA, is a must-follow on Twitter, Sam_Amick. He is a must-read at The Athletic. And he's a very, very good dude for making some time for me here, filling in for Jim Rohn, Bill Ryder. Sam, incredibly gracious of you. It's great to be back on the West Coast. And I was telling everybody, you're the guy that introduced me to In-N-Out Burger, which is that's a bond that never goes away. So next time I see you, beers In-N-Out on me, buddy.
I'm not used to you being back in L.A., though. I have guilt about not even hitting you up on this trip, so I'll fix that next time. But
don't worry about it.
Welcome back, buddy. Thanks for having me.
You got it, brother. All good. The kids, I'm the kid. The mover showed up yesterday. The kids are adjusting. We'll do it next time, brother. Thank you, dude.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
All right, buddy. Sam Amick, that guy, Howard Beck, Adrian Wojnarowski, with all deference and respect to a lot of talented NBA writers out there, those are the three. Those are the dudes. And Sam is so good at his job and so connected. And again, this isn't always, it's not just sports. It's not always true in media either. He's a good dude. Good people. All right, Sam_Amick on Twitter. I'm on there too, Sports Rider, Sports REITER. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim, the Jim Rome Show, of course. RomanHaveItTake.com, 1-800-636-8686. Give me a call. I'm going to do a little Final Four prediction. I'm feeling bold and accurate, and I'll unleash, not wisdom, at least my perspective on the Final Four when we come back to the Jim Rome Show in just a minute.